Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is with his family this week. They are celebrating the homecoming of his son, Gene Jr., who recently passed away with complications of COVID-19. So we ask that your prayers continue to go out to Dr. Youngblood and his family. Prayers are needed during this difficult time and would be greatly appreciated. I'm also joined by Chris Hughes, Dr. Chris Hughes. He is one of America's most important, influential, and respected voices on cultural and political issues. He's a powerful communicator. Chris is the Christian political advocate, Second Amendment defender. He's a Christian apologist and author. He is the host of The Christian Perspective with Chris Hughes. Chris, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Mike, it's an honor to be with you again today.
Oh, absolutely. Chris, we have a lot of things we want to discuss and share with the audience today. But before we get to that, I guess I need to introduce myself a little bit. By the way, Chris is out of Boone, North Carolina. He and his family live there. He's a father, husband, culture warrior, public speaker, celebrity chef, and author. So Chris is out of Boone, North Carolina. I'm out of Pensacola, Florida. I'm a small business owner, providing insurance and financial services. I've been doing that for 31 years, and simultaneous to that, I was a Florida state representative from 2013 to 2020, representing District 1 and District 2 in the Florida Panhandle. Before that, being a small business owner, I was an officer in the Air Force for 10 years, after graduating from the Air Force Academy. And by the way, Dr. Chris Hughes also served in the military, as did his wife. So you are listening to patriots, myself and Dr. Chris Hughes, who love this country. Let's Face the Issues is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time staff can answer all of your homeowner and professional and backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295, right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. You can reach Tools for a Time online at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to join the show today with your questions or comments, you can call in at 904-831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. Chris, one of the things I'd like to have us start off with is talking about our economy and where it is right now. It's basically in turmoil. We are living in a chaos economy, and there is a way to fix it. But first, we have to know why our economy is going so crazy like it is right now. We have seen gas prices are at a level not seen since the disastrous Obama years. The Democrats, however, seem to be getting richer and richer on the backs of the American workers. Okay, Chris, now I'm reading from an Epoch Times article that says food prices across the world have risen to their highest levels in a decade on the back of tightening supply conditions coupled with robust demand, according to the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, or the FAO. The FAO's Food Price Index, which measures world food commodity prices, has surged by 32.8% in the 12 months through September, coming in at a reading of 130 points, a level not seen since 2011. On a month-over-month basis, the index rose 1.2%. Chris, what is your take on all this price increases we're seeing everywhere, from the gas pumps to food to housing prices, everywhere? What is your take on that, Chris?
Mike, this is in direct relation to the policies of the Biden administration. Their crazy COVID mandates on people and mask mandates, and because of that, people don't go to work, and then they've paid people not to go to work, and as a result, we don't have enough labor force. You know, right now, I'm sure our listeners have seen on the news of all these container ships that are just sitting in the harbors because there's not enough people to unload these ships. Of course, we wouldn't have that problem if President Biden would make America First a policy within his administration and make it where we're self-dependent again. We were completely energy independent under President Trump, and President Biden has done away with that policy, and now we're dependent on other nations for our oil once again. As a result, the gas prices have just gone astronomical, and that's affected the food prices because trucking cannot get at a reasonable price, get things to the market. Not only are they not getting unloaded off the ship, but they're not getting to the grocery stores. And I heard yesterday that there's now starting to be a shortage of toilet paper once again. This is a terrible crisis in our nation. Yeah, we ought to be able to – we've got some of the greatest farmers in the world in the United States of America, but our government makes it difficult for them to produce a product and sometimes to do it at a reasonable price. And we have got to get independent again as the United States of America, and then we won't have these problems where we don't have things on the shelf.
You're absolutely right, Chris. And of all the things you just said, the thing that struck the most terror in my heart is when you said that there's now going to be a shortage of toilet paper again.
Do you remember that last year, Mike? I was out of town. We were actually on a cruise when the crisis took place, and we got back and didn't know what had happened to the crazy world. We got emails as soon as our ship got back into shore in last March that our kids weren't going back to college. And we had left home. I know this is more information than the listeners want to know, but we only had one roll of toilet tissue at home. And now we had two extra kids that we weren't having at home before. And we stopped at every state between Florida and North Carolina and could not find toilet tissue anywhere. And now we hear that could be a crisis again. They're even saying that people are not going to be able to get Christmas presents for their kids. And that's just crazy. Months out in advance, and we already know, if we know that we're going to have an issue 3 months from now, then President Biden needs to get his act together. We need to get those. If we have to take the military to unload those ships, we need to get those ships unloaded and get the products on the shelves in our country so our country can survive.
That's right. And Chris, all of this chaos that we are seeing right now is man-made. It's being caused by government. Not only the U.S. government, but the globalist government in other parts of the world. They are causing these shortages. And I'll have to share this little aside. First of all, Chris, there should not be what are called these anti-price gouging laws that take place when shortages happen. Usually you'll see these shortages right after a natural disaster, like a hurricane or something like that. And now people are trying to get hotel rooms or trying to get gases or get gas for their car. And we'll see that the local businesses who are around those disaster areas will raise their prices. Well, governments will unwittingly pass these anti-gouging laws, price gouging laws, saying that you cannot raise prices above a certain amount without facing some penalty. First of all, how do you determine what that price should be in the first place? And I want to share a little bit about that, Chris, one of my own personal experience, but we do have a caller on the line. It's Danny. Danny, please let us hear your question
or
comment,
gentlemen,
please.
Once again, I'm not one to skirt around the truth, but in America, we used to understand words have meaning, and words can either speak the truth or speak lies. But when is treason going to be called treason? When we can document that everything that has happened to America since Biden took office has destroyed this nation from within. Our founding fathers told us and warned us that the day could come when the enemy may be within our own soil. And it's here. It's been here. The deep state, Trump proved it. Everything that's transpired over the last 10 years or so has proved it. And I think that the American people need to shut this country down. Not our government shut it down, but the American people shut it down without force, without armament, but just shut it down by staying home, by taking and saying, we know who you are, we know what you're doing and why you're doing it, and we are saying no more.
Danny, thank you for your comment. You raised some very interesting points, and it is time for Americans to step up and to say no more. And I think we are seeing that with Southwest Airlines. The pilots and the workers who have decided that they are taking their paid leave, they're taking in their sick time, and we saw thousands of flights that were canceled because of that. Chris, we have another caller on the line, Barry. Barry, what is your question or comment, please?
Okay, well, first, just a comment at first. I'm about turned 70 years old, and this is the first time in my life that, you know, that I've never been, never been content that America would protect me, that I could depend on my country, and you know, obviously we all feel that way. You know, I'm a believer in Jesus. I know he's going to take care of me, but I've always been, you know, very comfortable with my nation, and so that's my comment. My question is, however, as I listen to you, you know, and I enjoy listening to your program. And I know that, of course, prayer is number one. We got to pray for our nation, and of course, vote. But what else can the average citizen do besides pray and vote?
Chris, do you want to handle that, and then I'll add my thoughts. Thank you for calling in, Barry.
Okay. Well, Barry, we do need to pray. We need to register to vote. It's obvious you're a Christian. I appreciate you and Danny both calling in, by the way. Over 40 million Christians are not registered to vote, Barry. We have to get pastors to allow voter registration drives in the church. It's a nonpartisan thing. It does not affect your 501c3 status, but we've got to get Christians to vote. And if we can register Christians and then educate them and turn out the vote, then we can once again control the electoral process. In this country right now, the narrative is being driven by less than 10% of the general public because Christians don't turn out and vote. So we do need to pray. We do need to vote. And then we need to be involved. Your elected officials need to know who you are. And you need to be respectful. You don't need to be mean when you confront them. And I'm not saying you need to know them. I mean, you do need to know them, but they need to know you. Do you know the members of your school board? Do you know the members of your county commission? Do you know your state rep and your state senator and your representatives in Congress and the United States Senate? You need to get them to know them. And that way, when crisis comes up, they're more inclined to listen to you. Mike can tell you this, as he was a state rep in the state of Florida, state representative. And, you know, it's one thing when people just holler and scream when they get mad, but he's going to be willing to talk to somebody who's been his friend on an ongoing basis. Get to know your elected officials. Tell them you're praying for them. Send them a card once in a while, and then they'll listen to you when the time comes. But we also, Barry, have to be like the people at Southwest Airlines right now. Finally, some people in a company are standing up and saying, we're not going to put up with this. We have got to fight back. We've got to boycott in a peaceful manner, and we've got to take a stand, or we're going to lose our nation. Because as Danny was saying when he called a while ago, it's not just treason, but it's tyranny. And these are the beginnings of not just socialism, but communism, because they're making us reliant on the state, the government, for everything. And we have got to put an end to it and take a stand right now.
Chris, you are absolutely right. And Barry, what I would add to that is, you said, what else can we do other than just pray and vote? First of all, don't minimize either one of those, especially prayer. Prayer is very powerful. It's the most powerful tool that we have as Christians. The Bible tells us, and the Bible is true, that the fervent, effectual prayers of the righteous availeth much. When we pray to the living God, it is like a sweet aroma that raises up to his throne. And he does not in any wise cast us out. And it does have effect. So, Barry, continue praying for this nation, for this family, for your community. And then, like Chris said, you gotta vote. You must vote. If Christians would vote and vote their values, we would have more Christian leaders in office and would turn this thing around. It wouldn't make it perfect, because just because you're a Christian doesn't make you perfect, but it would make it a lot better. And then, as Chris also said, Barry, to get involved. Just last night here in Pensacola, we had a rally where doctors were standing up saying that the healthcare workers should not be forced to take these vaccines, this experimental vaccine that the Biden regime is trying to force on all Americans. And so there were many who showed up at the stadium last night. And Barry, that's where we would need people like you to come also. When you hear of a rally that's taking place, gather yourself, maybe some friends, some neighbors, and show up. It's very peaceful, but it is making our voices heard. Okay, now, Chris, let's look at this one article. It's written by the Mises Institute. It's the Mises Wire, and it says, we're living in a chaos economy. But this is what I like, Chris. It says, here's how to end it. This is an article that was written by Mark Thornton. The Federal Reserve has been increasing the money supply at an explosive rate. The federal budget deficits and the trade deficit are record levels. Governments, both foreign and domestic, have locked down people, restricting production and consumption. How should this be viewed by an economist or by a regular citizen? There is clearly chaos in the economy, and hardly a day goes by that we don't find something else that has gone haywire in our day-to-day economic life. However, many people and economists are either oblivious to the problems or are in denial. Things are normal for them. Politicians are mostly in this camp. For economists and investment promoters, inflation is transitory. They don't know how the economy works, and they expect near perfection from the economy and entrepreneurs. This view is wrong. Chris, the article goes on to say, the chaos is all too real for most others. Most of us, Chris, homemakers who spend household income are seeing their purchasing power shrink, their choices disappearing, and more of their time consumed stretching the family budgets. And as you said earlier, Chris, this article also says, Christmas shopping will be worse than normal. We are months out, and already they know that this is going to be not a good Christmas season. Why is that? Partly because a lot of people start doing their Christmas shopping this month. I know my wife does, but we're not seeing that happening already. Americans are holding on to their money because it's being spent on essentials, gas, food, electricity, and so forth. The article goes on to say, chaos deniers are further entrenched in their experience by the mainstream media. The problems are either not reported by the media or are masked by aggregate statistics like price inflation, such as the consumer price index, low employment, wage increases, and extremely high stock markets and real estate, especially housing prices. These stats make people feel good, or at least less nervous. And so that's why you hear the mainstream media talking about that instead of about the chaos that is going on around us right now. Below the government economist radar, there is real economic suffering. Small businesses are hurting and going out of business. Based on help wanted signs I drive by every day, it is extremely difficult to hire employees or purchase inputs. Our local barbecue restaurant recently had a sign that said, out of chicken, pork, and beef. Okay, Chris, I'm going to break away from the article just for a little bit here and talk about this. Just this past weekend after church, my family and another family got together and said, well, let's go grab a bite to eat. A lot of Americans do that. At least I know we do here in the South. After church, we go grab a bite to eat, and the Baptists are always trying to beat the Methodists to the restaurants to avoid
yes,
the line. But we went to a restaurant, one of our favorites, and they said it's going to be a 40 to 45 minute wait. But we saw a lot of tables that were empty. We thought, So I actually knew the owner, walked up to the owner, and I said, is your wait staff not adequate? Because I've experienced that too, Chris, all over the place. And I'm sure you have, even in North Carolina, that you go somewhere and it's either a long wait or they're unable to serve you because the wait staff are at home collecting government unemployment checks. And yep. On top of that, we see that they are paid more to stay at home than to go to work. So again, this shortage, this chaos is being created by our government. So I went up to the owner and I said, is it your wait staff? And the owner says, no, it's a cook. We don't have a cook that's here. And that's why the tables were empty, but it was still a 40 to 45 minute wait. And we had some friends who were there with us who just happened to show up at the same time who said, we just left another restaurant. They had a 45-minute wait. So all this chaos is being created by the government. Chris, what are your comments on that?
Well, Mike, it's not just in Pensacola. I travel all over the country, and I'm seeing it everywhere I go. And it's you're right, it's not just wait staff. It's cooks as well. A few weeks ago, I was in a restaurant, and nobody could get their there were so many people, the poor waitresses could not keep up. So I went and just grabbed a pitcher of tea and water and walked around and started filling up people's glasses so they'd calm down a little bit. But this is purely created by our government, Mike. If we would quit paying people, why are we paying people anything? I don't get paid anything. You don't get paid anything. These stimulus checks that went out, our family didn't benefit from these stimulus checks that went out over the past year. Why are we paying people to stay at home and not work? That's not how the United States of America was set up. We're a capitalist economy. People need to work, and they need to earn the money that they live off of. And, we can't keep sustaining this. This is insane. The taxes are going to just go up and go up and go up, and the government can't keep printing money. The dollar is going to be worthless on the world economy if they don't put an end to this nonsense. And it's not getting any better.
But say that the government can't keep printing money. They might see that as a challenge and keep doing it anyway.
Well, they might, but they're doing it. And we're opening the border. Millions of illegals are coming across the border. We're providing them free health care. We're giving them money. We're educating their children free. And I'm not just harping on them. We're giving money just about to anybody that wants it, except people that are willing to truly work. We cannot feed the whole world. We need to take care of our own nation, and then we'll be able to benefit others as well. But this is going to become catastrophic for the United States of America. If people can't get food, they can't get goods and services. You know, we don't have a lot of local farmers anymore, so a lot of people go to a restaurant to eat, like you're talking about, and they can't even get food there. A disaster is pending, and we have got to stop subsidizing. And that's why the elections are so important next year. I mean, and again, I don't know how we're going to survive till this point of next year, but we have got to clean house in the United States Congress next year and get some people to take a stand. And I'm not just saying only vote out Democrats. We got a lot of Republicans who need to get a backbone too. And if they're not going to take a stand to this, you know, such as Mitch McConnell, then we need to get rid of them.
Chris, you are absolutely right. We need to clean house at the congressional level, but we also need to at the state level and at the county level. And as you mentioned earlier, at the school board level, we must get involved. We must go out and vote, and we must get Christians into these places of leadership, into these political positions. Back to the article that was written by Mark Thornton from the Mises Wire. He says, big business is likewise finding roadblocks throughout their supply chains, primarily because of lockdowns and COVID restrictions. So we see these lockdowns and COVID restrictions in states like California, where they have containers that are waiting out on the coast for hours that are supposed to be supplying us. The government roadblock to economic life is epitomized by the 500,000 shipping containers, 500,000, Chris, stuck off the port of Long Beach, California. Meanwhile, domestic inventories are dwindling for everything from houses to mayonnaise. Now, Austrian economics provides an understanding of the causes of this chaos and the way to solve it. We're almost up at the top of the hour at the break, Chris, but I want to make sure we continue this because I don't like to just complain about things. I don't like to just bring up problems. I like to also talk about how we can solve the problem. And after the break on the other side, we're going to continue this talking about the issues and how we can solve them. There is a solution for all this, ladies and gentlemen, and number one is to get government out of the way. This is Mike Hill and Chris Hughes sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. If you would like to join the conversation, you can call in at 904-831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. Now, the Fed's actions have been a tidal wave force against the economy. Printing money has given some signs of prosperity, but its main known effect, tangible effects, are higher prices, malinvestment, and more wealth distribution from the middle class to the very wealthy. That is exactly what is happening when the government prints money. The solution is straightforward. The central bank needs to stop its policy of propping up the markets for government bonds and home mortgages and perverse effects it is creating on a general loan market in the form of ultra low interest rates. So we must get government out of the way. Chris, that is the answer. Promises of the Fed tapering, where they do fewer asset purchases, is really too little too late. Completely ending asset purchases by the Fed would stop their mischief, limit the damage, and make stocks, bonds, and homes more affordable for Americans. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. Don't change your dial. Come back and join with us. We're going to continue right after the break.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.